Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Tennessee and West Virginia. College football is back. Coverage begins with the Tennessee Tailgate Show, Saturday at noon on 104.5 The Zone.
I don't know who Blaze Foley is.
It's Blaze Foley. You really should know who Blaze was.
Didn't try to fall in love with you.
Do you think we're born knowing how to love?
That I can do.
Why do we forget?
Keep myself from falling.
Plain old living, that
like I've done so many times.
So you're gonna be a big country star?
I saw daylight in you.
I don't want to be a star. I want to be a legend. And
I'm going down to the Greyhound station. Gonna get a ticket to ride.
I know it's strange. Seems like since we got married, I've been gone all the time.
Kids and sit down by side.
But I'm a salesman of songs. Every song I hear about a man and woman, I think about us and cry.
Feed pigeons and clay.
You think about Blaze?
Turn the night into day.
You understand? If you want to write a solo,
you bring your ass over here, ZZ Top.
I was going to tell you that.
Blaze, a film by Ethan Hawke. You can catch it at the Bell Court. Right now, and we have a jam-packed studio, guys.
We do. A lot of talent in the studio right now. We've got Ethan Hawke, writer and director of Blaze. You can see it at Belcourt right now. We'll give you all the times for where you can catch those shows, the Belcourt. Ben Dickey in studio also. Great musician, star of the movie. And we've got Charlie Sexton also, another great musician, plays Towns Van Zandt in the movie. Charlie was over here somewhere. Now he's over here. I'm trying to locate everyone right now in the studio. Guys, welcome to Nashville.
I didn't see that, by the way.
Welcome to Nashville, and really appreciate you coming in studio. This is, I watched this film last night. I screened it, and I want to start with you, Ethan, on this because I want to know about the inspiration behind this, because I see a story like this on film, and I think, how did I not know who Blaze Foley was before this movie? To me, that was the big takeaway. It felt like I should know who this is because I'm a big fan of music.
Well, that's exactly how I felt. When I first came across Blaze's music as a fan of Towns Van Zandt,
as
a fan of Willie Nelson, as a fan of Outlaw Country, as a fan of Christopherson, you start hearing these songs. You're like, how did I not know these songs? How did I not know this person? And then the idea comes along with, wow, wouldn't it be cool to make a movie where you're not celebrating somebody who's already been celebrated? The movie itself is introducing you to the person and celebrating the music at the same moment. You're getting to discover a new artist at the same time you're being told a story. And the idea of doing that seemed exciting to me.
It almost felt like, you talked about introducing music, it almost felt like a musical in that you were hearing songs start to finish throughout, interspersed through the movie.
I called it our country western opera. You know, in a lot of ways I was using Blaze and Towns' songs to tell their story. I think it was fun to do anyway.
We've got Ben Dickey in studio, the star. He plays Blaze Foley in the film. Ben, it is my understanding you had never acted before this film. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Wait a second.
Well,
10th grade.
I got out of, I did high school plays because it got me out of class through most of spring.
What was your best role in high school?
I played Mr. Bascom in a production of Carousel. I got to shoot Billy, and then I was Dunzo.
Well, yeah, you wouldn't have known you had never acted watching the film. What was the pep talk like when you approached him about this to say, okay, I've got your back on this?
Well, the pep talk came in many forms. It came from Ethan. It came from his friend and now my friend, Vincent D'Onofrio, who he sent me to. Vincent's a really wonderful artist and a very kind individual, but he's an intimidating figure, and he's a very talented person. He's as big as me. And essentially, he just scared the snot out of my brain and cut out any misconceptions about what I thought acting might be, which is where I was growing this cancer of notions that weren't so. And he helped me rearrange that thinking and gave me some principles to lean on. And just encouraged me. So there was pep talks the whole way, but they came from different people. And Ali Shawkat was generous to me. Josh Hamilton was generous to me. Charlie Sexton was very generous to me. And we really felt like we were together. So it was a really psychedelic and beautiful experience.
Are you now an actor, or is this a one-shot deal? And Ethan, do you imagine him playing more parts, or is this his masterpiece?
And no more. I might do some talk show radios.
You wanted to talk about the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Well, the Razorbacks are such a fine, fine institution. University of Arkansas, of course, middle 19th century. I made a second movie. Vincent saw a cut of Blaze and said to Ethan, do you think that he would want to do another one? And he called me and I said, heck yeah, I would. And I got to be a cowboy and it was outrageously fun.
Very cool. Charlie Sexton in studio also. Full disclosure, Charlie, Townes Van Zandt was the one musician that I'd heard of going into the
movie.
Same
here.
I learned a lot more about everyone else.
Knew him through Steve Earle here.
I feel like there is some pressure in playing that role, though, because this is someone that people have seen before, right?
That's the tip of the iceberg, yeah. There's a little bit of pressure.
Was he a hero of yours musically?
Not only that, not only did I have nothing but respect for Townes, as you know, a person, as an artist, all that. He's also like kind of a family friend, really close to my family and the Van Zandts. So that kind of, but I wasn't as close to Townes as my brother and my mother was. So it detached me a little bit, which there had to be some detachment, you know.
Did that put added pressure on it? Just knowing the family personally?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. I mean, when Ethan called me about it, the first call I made was to JT, Townes' son. And as I've told the story, I said, hey, he said, what's going on, buddy? I go, got good news and bad news. He goes, what's that? I go, well, good news is my friend Ethan's going to make this movie about Blaze Foley. He goes, that's great. He goes, what's the bad news? I said, I'm going to play your daddy.
So Ben is from Arkansas, as he said. We've got two other Texas boys in here. Ethan, for you, how important was it to nail the essence of Texas country in a Texas-type movie with how you were shooting this?
Well, I think Charlie felt this the strongest, but I felt it as well. One of the problems with making a movie about things you love is that if you screw it up, it'll hurt you. You know what I mean? But one thing, if I make some weird movie about the planet Pluton with these, you know, zombie women, and I screw it up. I mean, it sounds good. I know.
Sounds awesome.
Sounds awesome.
Don't screw that one up.
But if I screw that up, it doesn't cost me anything. You know, I respect these people. I want to do right by the music. I want to do right by myself, and I want to do right by. But we met. Sybil Rosen wrote a memoir called "Living in the Woods in a Tree" about her love affair with Blaze Foley, and it's one thing when you read it and think, "Oh, I want to make a movie about that." Then you get to know that human being. And you get to feel her up close, and you get to feel that what that love means to her and what these songs mean to her. And then the pressure just mounts, you know, just like Charlie said. So, but maybe that helped us.
I feel like you're pretty well connected, considering that I watched this film and you've got Richard Linklater in it, Sam Rockwell, Steve Zahn, a really cool cast. Is this just simply your buddies with these guys, and you can call them up and say, hey, I've got a really great script. Will you work with me on this? What is the recruiting process like with that?
Buddies makes it sound like we're friends because we both like the same brand of tequila or something. Anyway, Steve and Sam, they did just fly in and come in and help us out. They play the record executives. But they did so because when we were 19, 20, 21, 22, we started a theater company together. And we care about the same things. You know, Steve taught me who John Prine was. I mean, you know, when you're on location on a movie, we were shooting a movie down in Houston. We had nothing to do for weeks. And we'd just drive around and he'd play me this John Prine song. So all this stuff is kind of connected. Linklater is obviously a mentor, a friend, a pal. But the reason why we're friends is because of a kind of a shared belief system. You know, we like the same kind of movies and life. And so he wanted to be a part of it. You know, I mean, he was the one when I first had the idea. I said, you know, it's really scary because we don't have enough money and stuff like that. And he said, Ethan, you got to do it. I hear this sound in your voice. Go, 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 go. And don't look back. He said, just if you don't have enough money, all you have to do is pretend you're 25. And then everything that does, if you just live life like you're still 25, like don't be mad that there's no craft service providing breakfast. Just pick up some donuts on the way.
Yeah.
Don't be mad. There's, you know, nobody to do hair and makeup. You know, tell your wife to get out her purse and get some makeup, you know.
What is the key to making something that's low budget where you don't have a lot of money to make it feel like it's a grander in scale? Because this is a movie that goes to Chicago. It goes to New York. I don't know if you're actually there, but it feels like you're there in the film. What's the key to making it seem bigger than it may be?
Breaking the law.
Continue.
Well, you know, that it's funny that that leads us to Louisiana.
Statue of limitations, you know, is up, so go ahead.
Magic happens in Louisiana. Or at least we like to call it magic.
I'm going down to the Greyhound station, gonna get a ticket to ride. Gonna find that lady, two or three kids, and sit down by side.
Midday 180 served up by Wendy's. Ethan Hawke, Ben Dickey, Charlie Sexton in studio with us. The film is Blaze. You can catch it at the Bell Court.
You can catch it at the Bell Court, by the way, today at 3:40, 7 o'clock, 10:10. Tomorrow, 12:30, 3:40, 7 p.m., 10:10, Sunday, noon, 3:15, 5:50, 8:25. We got Ethan Hawke, Ben Dickey, Charlie Sexton in studio. Ethan, it feels like Nashville is an important city for a film like this. You know, we got someone calling in already who's a huge Blaze Foley fan.
Right.
This is the epicenter of country music. So yeah. I'm sure this was important for you to get down here and talk about it.
That's why Charlie, Ben, and I are here.
Yeah.
Because we know that we care about music, and we know that other people care about music, and we want to speak to them. That's why at all those playtimes you just mentioned at the Bell Court Friday and Saturday, we'll be at all those shows doing Q&As and intros and talking to people about the movie.
That's awesome. We were talking during the break too. I have to carry this conversation on air. People that approach you that know you from something, It's got to get annoying at some point when someone, they don't know who you are, but they know that you know. How often do you get that?
I would say way more often than I like, but what's funny is, like, when people come up to me and tell me, I just, with passion in their eyes, you were amazing in Minority Report. You were just incredible in Minority Report. And I'm going, like, do they think I'm Tom? Who do they think I am in Minority Report? I really just have no idea. That it happens to me all the time. You know, I'm telling you, The Shooter is my favorite film.
I'm sorry. Then sometimes we get confused.
The Mark McGrath thing, too. You get mistaken for him from time to time from Sugar Ray?
You're like stuck in 94. That did happen when Reality Bites came out. Yeah,
did it really?
That hasn't happened in a while.
Not happened. That's good.
I love the fact, though, that you'll sign someone else's name.
Why not? If somebody comes up to me and says, you know, Matt Damon, you are my favorite actor, I'll sign Matt Damon. I don't need to kill their buzz.
So I don't know if you knew this or not, Ethan, but Dead Poets Society, obviously the film that really broke you. The inspiration is a mile down the road. Montgomery Bell Academy. Yeah, the writer went to MBA right here in Nashville.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. We always talk about that and think it's one of our favorite films, but that the inspiration was right here in Nashville is pretty cool.
Well, you know, that was a great script, and it was an honor to be a part of that. Really, people say that kind of thing, and you sounds corny, but it's strange to watch as years progress how much that. I mean, you talk about people coming up to you. That one, people come up to me and say "Carpe Diem," or people come up to me and quote Walt Whitman to me. I love that movie. It means so much to me.
I always wonder when there's a movie with kind of an ensemble cast, as particularly of young people. Yeah. How much of a fraternity is there among you guys, and do you see them?
Hey, listen, we see them. Josh Charles just had a baby. He's on a play. He's doing a play on Broadway right now. Robert Sean Leonard just texted me. He's coming to the premiere of Blaze. So those friendships mean a lot to me. Josh Hamilton, who's in our movie, he's also in eighth grade right now. He's a wonderful actor. I met Josh because we were at the screen test for Dead Poets. He didn't get it. But we became friendly to the point where when we had a party on New Year's Eve shooting Dead Poets Society, 88 to 89, right? He took the train down to visit the set because we'd all screen tested together and we all got along, you know? Yeah. And he was like, hey, how's it going, guys? And there were some girls there.
You know, we're on a sports talk radio show here, so I want to tie this into sports somehow. Acting as a sport, making a movie as a sport, and everyone sort of playing a role. when you're making Training Day, for Denzel to win an Oscar, you have to have Ethan Hawke in that role as not really the support, but someone who can facilitate a performance like Denzel Washington. Do you ever view it in those terms? I mean, there are times in the movie where you're scoring also and you're taking the shots, but how do you work that when you're making a film together?
Here's the thing. It's not a reach at all to talk about sports. What you're talking about is team building. And people say to me all the time, like, how do you know, Ben had never acted before.
Right? Yeah.
And they say, how could you do it? It's like, because all the things that are necessary at its core, at its real core, to play music extremely well are the same core that it takes to do a good performance. It's just slightly different clothes, slightly different movement of energy, but the same spirit animal that it is. Ben understands teamwork. Ben understands harmony. Ben understands how to work with others, when to take the lead, when to step back. And we all did that. And that's when, whether you're talking about Training Day or you're talking about Blaze, when things, or a sports team. I mean, it's not, the reason why I watch sports obsessively is because I learn how human beings interact with. I love when you see a great pass and you wonder, how did that guy know he was.
You love team sports for that reason.
I love it. I love it. You see, you know, the value of practice, right? I mean, just the simple value of practice. So many people want, especially in this country, they want this talent myth that, oh, you know, God, I wish I could play the guitar like Charlie Sexton. Well, it's, you know, some fairy godmother didn't just like wave it over his head, right? There's a tremendous, there's a life's energy that went into that. And you, that's what, I'm moved by that.
Wondering about your other big thing happening this weekend is Juliet Naked, a more mainstream film coming out based on a book by Nick Hornby. I'm a big fan of Nick Hornby. I'm wondering, when you're in a film that's based on a book, at what stage do you read the book versus the screenplay, or do you avoid it for any reason? How's
that?
Can
also, by the way, tie into the memoir that this movie's based on with Blaze.
Blaze is based on a memoir, Living in the Woods in a Tree, about it's about a lot of things, but it focuses on Blaze Foley and Sybil Rosen's time of falling in love in this treehouse. It's kind of a magical thing. Now, if you're adapting something, of course, I'm reading that. I'm underlining passages. I'm saying, would that be a cool moment? Ask Sybil about this. Ask Sybil, what does that mean? Who is he? Why is he important? You know, it's a danger as an actor. I was scared to read Juliet Naked because I was scared that I wouldn't like the screenplay, or that I would get, my brain might get mad about something they'd cut out, or it might confuse me.
You might be that guy in the theater that's like, this is like the book.
this
part never happened in the book.
Why'd they change this part?
You got the page on page 173, looking at it exactly while you're watching.
Yeah, that's not what she looks like.
But I got to a place working on that movie where I didn't understand something about the character, and I was like, damn, I have to read the book and find out does this problem exist in the book? And it didn't, and it was, and it did help me immensely. I read it about 3 days before shooting, but it helped me.
That's cool.
I want to go back into this team building and tie it back into Blaze, and I'm asking all three of you guys this question. In terms of Ethan Hawke as a team builder in this, one interesting choice, I don't think I'm giving too much away about the film when I say this, you're in the movie, but we never see your face. And you're in a large portion of the movie, we hear your voice, we never see your face. What went into that decision in terms of your team building and your role with this movie? That to me seemed like a conscious effort to separate yourself a bit on screen. Was it?
Well, that... We
couldn't afford you.
You could afford my voice, but not my face. Yeah. No,
your quote was way too
high. I texted Ben and Charlie, like, what would you guys think if I played that part? And Charlie said, it seems like the kind of thing Orson Welles would do, or something like that. And so I was like, all right, I like.
You started your Orson nickname.
Yeah. And so I liked that. The idea occurred to me for two very simple reasons. One is, I didn't think, no matter who played it, I would want to see their face. And I thought it would really hurt the feelings of the actor I cast if I had this intimate experience and brought him in there and then cut him out of the movie. And so if I did it, there wouldn't be a problem with it. And I also thought subconsciously, most people don't know who Blaze Foley is, and they're going to learn about it by watching the movie. And so I am your director, and I am learning about it. You know, I thought it had good subconscious.
What about Ethan as a team builder in this? Ben, we'll go to you next.
Well, I've known Ethan for a long time. I've watched him write books. I've watched him try to get graphic novels made and get them made. I've watched him on stage. I've watched him film movies. And I saw him a little bit when he made The Hot Estate. That was actually my real film debut. Me and my sweetheart got to be the kissing couple in The Hot Estate. But I'd never, you know, been on a set with him where he was captaining the ship. And the job of being a director starts way, way before, you know, you have cameras and grips and stuff involved. And so he always referred to it as getting the ship ready, getting the mast ready, getting the crew aboard, making sure that the keel was going to be situated and that once we got out to sea, everything would be going. And he did all that work. And then once it started, he created this wonderful environment where creativity was in charge and curiosity was in charge. And sometimes he had a really keen and clear idea about what he needed. And sometimes he asked everyone to add. I know that Charlie and I both got to participate in shifting some of the way that the current and the waters went for certain scenes. And that's what he was encouraging. That's the environment that he was encouraging. And when that is happening, people get inspired to do a good job and they want to participate with all their heart. And that was always the way it was when we were working on it. And as we've gone on into sharing the movie, he's taken the responsibility of talking about it and giving all the respects due to all the people he asked to be involved. There was generosity in his spirit and everyone contributed.
Charlie, what were your thoughts on that whole process of building this team?
You know, from the very beginning of the whole concept, the project, everything, I just knew, I really felt completely strongly that from the first time I met Ethan, I go, oh, this guy is really smart. He's really talented, but it's the heart. That's the thing. The heart thing is what always gets me about people and their work and the creative process. And I just, and anyone we reached out to that was, we felt was really important to be involved in the film, that's what I always led with. I go, he's the guy to do this, to tell this, to help make this story come to life, you know.
Charlie may be the coolest guy on the planet, by the way.
We've got people tweeting us.
It's just unbelievable. The voice, everything.
We've got people tweeting us how they're going back to pull out their Archangels. Mm-hmm. Music. Archangel. And Beat So Lonely. I'll certainly listen to it later.
Archangel Charlie. Yeah. Michael, Charlie, Gabriel.
Blaze, written and directed by Ethan Hawke, starring Ben Dickey, Charlie Sexton, opens today at the Belcourt Theater right here in Nashville. You can catch a show at 3:40, 7 p.m., 10:10. Shows all over the weekend. And these guys are going to be there for Q&As over the weekend as well. Story about Blaze Foley, someone I did not know a thing about going into it. I know a lot about him now. Highly recommend it. Guys, this has been a blast. Thanks so much for stopping in. Best of luck with everything while you're in Nashville. This has been terrific. Thank you.
Thank you so much, guys.